Thank you, Tom and worship team, for leading us in worship here in the main sanctuary. Thank you for Daniel and choir for leading in the traditional service right across the hallway. I know we have a number of you that are listening online, and we welcome you. Just so that you will know, in terms of my orientation, you'll be right center in terms of my view as we worship together today. If you've not had an opportunity to be with us here in person at First Baptist Pflugerville, God has put together a congregation of people that love worship of many varieties. And so one group starts in here in praise and worship, and then a group in the overflow room. And they have traditional music. I kind of smile because eventually the group in here will be the traditional music group, and then there'll be a new version of praise and worship and those kinds of things. I hope you've come to God's house today with an expectation that you would hear from Him. You might have been invited by friends. In fact, I talked to Pastor Steve today. He's praying for us. And I thought to myself, you know, since I'm going to go to church in person, I want to invite some friends. And I was thinking to myself, in prior times, we would call that packing the pew. I don't think that's politically correct right now to be packing people into your pew. But I brought some friends with me. If you're choosing to worship with us by home, at home, I hope that you'll find maybe some ways to invite some friends to come and worship with you. Over the course of the summer, the church, the staff, the pastors have been leading in a series of sermons entitled Navigating Tough Times. And last week and this week, we're talking about what do we do when we're dealing with a difficult time that maybe the Lord has directed us into? What does that look like? How do we handle it? What do we do? What is our response in all of that? So we've entitled it Biblical Strategies for Tough Times. Now, in fact, there's a little book by Robert Morgan entitled The Red Sea Rules. If you pick that up, it'll be a great encouragement to you. Robert does a great job of developing the thoughts that I'm going to share with you this morning. But real quickly, in a recap kind of mode. Now, that doesn't mean if you were here yesterday, this is your opportunity for a quick nap. In fact, I want you to think about how you've put into play those first six strategies that we gave you last week. Number one, when you find yourself in a difficult situation that God has led you in, be more concerned for God's glory than for your relief. Look for a way to allow God to receive the glory through the situation and the tough time that you're dealing with. Secondly, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Thirdly, and in no particular order, pray. Pray, pray, pray. In fact, you're going to hear us throughout the day and throughout the sermon talking about the incredible power of coming to God with our prayer requests. Now, don't do like me. Often when I'm stressed out going through a tough time, I almost approach the Lord as though I'm giving Him new information that He doesn't know. He's aware, and He's looking for us to come and talk with Him. Number four, stay calm and confident. And give God time to work. Give God time to move. Now, the backdrop for these strategies comes out of the story of the children of Israel leaving Exodus. They've been in bondage under the Egyptians for 400 years. They're leaving, and right after they're leaving, they're faced with some pretty difficult situations, and how are they going to handle it? Where we are in our outline for this morning is, number five, don't forget to praise Him. In fact, the scripture verses that we're looking at in today's half of the lesson really come from the last half of chapter 14 and the beginning of chapter 15. Don't forget to praise Him. I would suggest to you that when you're going through difficult times, it's hard to fathom in the middle of it or in the midst of it what the best outcome is to be. So my encouragement to you is in advance, thank God and praise Him for what He's going to do. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15, say these words, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, wash your face every morning in the bath of praise. Think about that. Just as you get up in the morning and you're preparing for the day, get up in the morning and in your normal routine, praise the Lord for what He's done and how He's working and how He's moving in your life. The second thing that we want to do beyond not forgetting to praise Him is to be thankful. Now, often people say to me, well, if I'm praising God, I'm thanking God. I think there's some nuanced differences between it, but I want to give it attention as though it's its own standalone strategy to be thankful. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 say these words, "Do not be anxious about anything." Don't worry about anything. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition," and then the phrase, "with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." If you've kept up with Pastor Steve, a week ago Thursday, had a critical surgery to prepare the heart valve that they had prepared or that they had repaired a couple of years back. When I talked to him on Sunday morning, so this would be just 3 or 4 days after the surgery, I said, "How you doing?" And I was kind of expecting a list of all the things that had happened, and here were the first words that came out of his mouth. "I'm thankful to be alive." And I thought to myself, you know, when we're going through a difficult time, a hard time, Steve didn't, you know, desire or do anything to exacerbate this valve problem. But in the midst of that, what's he going to do? He's going to be thankful. So how do you find gratitude in hard times? I've just jotted down a couple of things. First of all, search for the bright spots in the midst of whatever you're going through. Now, you might be one of those persons that's so optimistic and you can find the best in everything. I came across a story that is going to be kind of the bar for me in terms of being thankful. Have you heard the name Corrie Ten Boom? She and her sisters survived the concentration camps in Germany. And they decided that as a part of their daily practice that they would pray and thank God. And one day, Corrie is thanking God for the fleas. And her sister, I think, had had enough. She said, "You know, I think we can thank God for a lot of things. Why in the world would we be thanking God for the fleas?" And then Corrie went into this discussion. "You know, because of the fleas and because the Germans are so detested by the fleas, we have an unabated opportunity to share our faith." Now, folks, when we get to the point in our life when we can thank the Lord for fleas, I think you're getting there. I'm telling you, I'm going to need a little bit more work, but thank God for the little things. Someone has said it this way, even if you and I had the most miserable existence on this earth, this life is brief in comparison to eternity. You and I have eternity with Jesus, something that we don't deserve, and we ought to be thankful if that fact alone. Another way in which you can generate thankfulness in your life is to reach out and help other people. Find someone in a situation that's worse off than yourself and help them and pour into their life and find the blessing that there is, and boy, you'll become thankful. How about immersing yourself in God's Word? Just spending time reading God's Word, hearing of all the times and all the ways in which He has given promises in Scripture for you and for me. One of the things that you can do is you can sing. Now, if you're like me and you're not a great singer, it's okay. It's a joyful noise to the Lord. Just be careful as to who else might be listening in on your singing conversation. You say, "How big of a deal is that?" Listen, in Exodus chapter 15, the entire chapter is a song that the children of Israel wrote to the Lord, sang to the Lord, and then finally pray. Now, those of the folks that are in the sanctuary this morning that came across the hallway, they sing hymns. In case you're not familiar with that, there's a book, and they are so very good. Ted Bosworth was sanitizing them afterward. But in there's a hymn. "Count your many blessings, name them one by one," and if everybody weren't in a mass this morning, we could fill in the blank, "and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." I want to encourage you to keep a gratitude journal. Begin to write down all the things, all the ways that God has worked and all that God has moved. All right, let's move on. New material, fresh material as of today. Number 7, strategies, biblical strategies for handling difficult times. When unsure, just take the next logical step of faith. So in chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to break camp. Let's get going.'" When you and I find ourselves in a difficult situation, let me encourage you to unfreeze yourself. Let me encourage you not to get stuck. Let me ask you to get about action. You say, well, what should I do? Well, I'm glad you ask. Scripture says that if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. All of those are action verbs. My South Korean friends say it this way. When you don't know what to do, stop, drop, and pray. And I love that. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, when you're unsure about the next step to take, take the next logical step by faith. Isabel Kuhn said it this way, I have found that if we go as far as we can, God often opens up the rest of the way. Psalm chapter 110, verse 3, your strength shall be renewed day by day like morning dew. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You get the idea that we're finding from Scripture is, as we're following the Lord on a daily basis, we're to allow Him to lead, and we are literally stepping in by faith into the next moment, into the next thing that He has for us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Strategy number 7, when unsure, just take the next logical step by faith. Strategy number 8, envision God's enveloping presence. I don't know if you're a big sports fan these days, but whether it's the NBA or whether it's the PGA, they're talking about this bubble that they're moving around in. They're very particular that if you're going to be a part of the PGA or the NBA or some of these other sporting events, you're in a bubble, you're not allowed out. They make sure the people that come in. And I began to think in terms of this, imagine God's presence in our life to be that safe bubble, that safe space where God is. In verses 19 and 20, it says, then the angel of God, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. It came between the Egyptian and Israelite forces. The cloud was there in the darkness, yet it lit up the night, so neither group came near the other all night long. If you're dealing with difficulty in your own life, imagine, envision God's enveloping presence around your life. You say, well, how do I know? How am I sure of God's care and concern for him, me? It says in Scripture that God knows the very breaths that we'll take. He knows the number of days of our life. He has literally numbered the hairs on our head. God is so intimately acquainted with you that the psalmist in 139 says this, God, if I were to imagine your thoughts turn toward me, they would outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. The Lord is interested in you, and you can rest in His enveloping presence. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12 say these words, God surrounds His people with favor as with a shield. Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no death, no danger, no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Strategy number 8, envision God's enveloping presence. Number 9, and because I'm amongst friends, let me tell you, this one's a tough one for me. So if you're praying for Dave, strategy number 9 is this, trust God to deliver in His own unique way. Now just for a moment, any of you imagine that here Moses is leading these people, they're coming upon the Red Sea, and it occurs to Moses, you know what, I bet God's going to have me take this staff in my hand, wave it across the Red Sea, part the water, and they're going to walk across. Anybody think that that ever, you know, occurred to Moses? I don't think so. But sometimes in my own life, you've never done this, I tend to try to figure out the best solution for my problem, and then I go to God and ask God to bless my plan the way that I think he should answer it. But what I found is God's always in the business of answering in his own unique way. Even Moses struggled with this in Exodus chapter 17. The people are needing water. And he takes that staff that he waved across the Red Sea. Man, you talk about probably what he thought was a lucky rabbit's foot for him. He whacks the rock, water comes out. Later in Exodus chapter 20, they need water again. God tells him to speak to the rock, but what does he do? He whacks the rock. And I just come from what I believe is a rock whacker mentality. I had to get that out there. I tend to find something that worked in the past and say, hey, God, let's just do that again. But you know what? God is looking for unique ways to answer in our lives and through difficulties. In verses 21 and 22, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind all that night and turned the sea into dry land so that the waters were divided and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with the waters like a wall to them on their right and the left. And I would suggest to you that this story is probably one of those most, in that category of most dramatic stories in Scripture of God's provision for his people. But here's what I want to tell you. God wants to answer and show up in your life in a very dramatic way. And when God shows up in our lives in a very dramatic way, the Lord wants us to share that testimony with other people of God's provision and for God's help. This morning, as I was preparing for the service, one of the brothers I'm looking at right now shared with me about a family member that they literally had called in hospice saying, I don't think she's going to live much longer. And yet here she is a week removed doing so much better than she was before. And what is he doing? He is testifying of God's provision for them. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 say, my ways are not your ways. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 14, the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. Psalm chapter 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Please, don't demand that God give you an explanation for everything for which you go through. But as Vance Havner says, allow God to mark across some of our days. We'll explain later. God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what's going on, but God, I'll allow you in your goodness to allow me to get an explanation later. Strategy number 10. View your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. View the current crisis as a faith builder for the future. Unfortunately, the children of Israel didn't do a very good job on strategy or biblical guidance number 10. I mean, they get into problems. Oh, we should have just stayed in Egypt. Oh, why didn't we just die in Egypt? I believe that God gives us victories incrementally through the course of our life and our experience, so it is a faith builder for the future. Listen to what it says in verses 30 and 31. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, it says, the people feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Hudson Taylor said it this way, I know he tries me only to increase my faith. Someone has said it this way, faith is believing what the Lord has said to us and that what he has said will come true. God's activity, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout Scripture is based on the faith principle. And that faith principle is this, a faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. I believe God tests our faith. God challenges us in our faith so that we would follow him. How big is this thing that I describe to you as faith? Well, Hebrews 11:6 say these words. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who seeks him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I conclude with this verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life today, whatever situation that has stranded you in your own Red Sea, I want to tell you, just as God vividly delivered the children of Israel, God will, in fact, deliver you. In just a moment, our praise team is going to come, and for us here in person, we're going to have a time of invitation. Over these past months, it's just not been something that we have done in a personal way, and we're going to exercise distancing such that our staff will be amongst the front, and if you would like to come and to have prayer, we'll pray with you at the appropriate distance. But those of you who are listening online, let me tell you this. If there's someone that you need to pray for you, you can call us here. There'll be a way, as you're watching this screen, for you to make contact with us and for us to pray very specifically for you. This morning is our opportunity to respond to what God has said and what God is doing. So as I pray, let me ask you to think of this. How will I respond to God's word? How will I respond to God's invitation this morning? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for the stories throughout Scripture that tell of your deliverance, of your mighty hand, of God, your unique way of handling situations in our life. God, there's nothing in our life that's beyond what you could handle. And so, God, this morning, if there's a struggle, if there's something in our life that's keeping us from enjoying, God, that tangible, enveloping presence of yourself, God, we just want to turn that over to you. Ask, God, that you would give us the patience and the grace and the trust and the faith to believe that you can and that you will, at the appropriate time, step in and, God, provide for us. Lord, I pray for each one of us that as we look at our life, rather than God being anxious about the next difficult thing that would come in, that God, we would, in gratitude, thank you for all that you've done in the past, knowing that God, you will step into this next situation in your time and in your will and in your way. So God, guide us this morning as we respond. May we respond, God, in faith believing, and in trusting you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you're here with us, I invite you to stand with me. I invite you to stand, and as the musical team behind me plays, I want to ask you to pray right where you are. Lord, reveal to me where I am in terms of putting into play these biblical strategies. But I know for me, there are times when I need someone else just to step up and to pray with me. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to come. There's no waiting period. There's no vetting process. Today you can give your life to Jesus. You can come and be a part of this fellowship. And so as our musical team plays, we invite you to respond.